welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a blessed weekend. It's been pretty nice down here in Florida. We actually had one of the first really, really nice, clear blue sky weekends we've had in actually quite some time. So that was a real blessing to have down here in Florida this weekend. And, of course, we have Dad locked in, as always, with us. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I've been speaking to a lot of our customers in the last week or so since that special now is over with. But I tell you what, I've got some of the best customers, and we Health Masters have some of the best customers in the entire world. Our guys are awake. In fact, it's funny. I keep thinking they're asking all these little nutrition questions, and, oh, man, we're talking about Nephilim and Genesis chapter 6 and everything you could possibly imagine we're talking about, and we're going into the detail with the best much of that I know. And so it's been a blast. So I want to thank all of you, if you're listening today, for giving me the opportunity to speak to you in person. It was just absolutely wonderful, and I really appreciate it. So what's your first story for the day, bud? There's so many stories today.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff going on. This is interesting now with what we've seen with a lot of the food. The shrimp now, I talked about it the other day, that Vietnam now is now pumping in more CMC gelatin and glucose to try and make the shrimp weight heavier. And what's interesting about this is they've already linked this stuff now to all types of health issues, and but about $150 million worth of shrimp is imported from the U.S. that is from Vietnam now, and because Vietnam has basically been having a shrimp drought, they've been injecting these things with all kinds of different chemicals to make them heavier, way more, and basically look prettier. So, guys, stay away from pretty much any and all shrimp. I don't even recommend it. Obviously, it's a crustacean, so it's not even really healthy to eat, even if it's, you know, locally caught on the East Coast. And on top of that, if you guys know that this stuff's coming in, and it's coming in and by the container loads from Vietnam and China, it's some nasty stuff. There was even another research study that just came out of it, and they found that a lot of this stuff is basically stored and frozen in extremely dirty water filled with diseases and bacteria. They said in 16% of cooked, ready-to-eat shrimp, we found several bacteria, including Vibrio and E. coli. In 11 samples of raw imported farm shrimp, we detected antibiotics. And in 7 raw shrimp samples, we found MRSA. So, guys, stay away from the shrimp. A lot of people are eating it right now while it's still in season. Just cut it out of your diet. There's no useful purpose to put that product or food or animal, whatever you want to refer to it as, in your body. It really has no useful purpose being in there. It's a cleaning crustacean. So I just want to kind of address that first thing today, Deb.
Well, you know how I feel about shellfish. The Bible says do it, so I don't do it. And what ended up happening back in 1981, and I've told this story before, I was eating at Greenleaf Golf and Country Club, and I got deathly ill from shellfish poisoning, and I was literally, you know, hugging a toilet for 5 days. I mean, I should have been hospitalized, and Gene Dawes, my best man at our wedding with your mom, he basically also got deathly ill, and so that was all I wanted to do with shellfish. That was the all-you-could-eat seafood buffet, and Henry Minks, he's gone now. May he rest in peace. He took us there. I mean, gosh, what is that, 35 years ago? Yeah, 35 years ago. And so, done. I don't eat shellfish at all, because it's like this. A lobster is an arthropod. A cockroach is an arthropod. All a lobster is a giant cockroach anyhow. And oysters filter up to 50 gallons of seawater a day. They can have abnormally high levels of arsenic, lead, and mercury in them. Shrimp, another filter feeder. Basically, they eat all the filthy stuff in the ocean. It's just not something that you need to eat. It's just like eating little septic tanks with shrimp. So I don't eat them. Now, do I like shrimp? Oh, absolutely. I love shrimp. I just thought I'd mention that. I just don't eat them, you know, because the Bible says not to. I learned that back in 83. And when I think had my pericarditis thing with my heart, and I just don't eat them. I just stay away from all the unclean meat now. I mean, lobster was one of my favorite meats. I absolutely loved lobster and steak tips, you know, dipped in real butter. But, you know, I don't eat it anymore. You know, so it's just one of those foods that I just said no to, and I just said no, have no interest in doing it anymore. Pork was another one that was my favorite, was one of my favorite meats. I used to tell people my favorite meat is pork, being raised German. You know, we always had pork for dinner, pork for lunch, pork for everything all the time. Everything was pork. And I had no idea, nobody had any idea, you know, how many hormones and toxins and chemicals are in that meat. And now we didn't know that the World Health Organization was going to come out just a few years ago saying that pork was one of the primary causes of cancer globally. But I just decided not to eat that stuff after my heart condition back in 83, when I learned that it caused undigested protein in the blood. It was too hot for the human body to handle. And I stayed away from it. In fact, there's a good article called The Biological Therapy, Volume 1, Number 2, 1983, by Professor Hans Reckwig. It's called The Adverse Influence of Eating Pork Consumption on Health, and how it basically is a homotoxin.
Hey, bud, can you hear me? Your thing's breaking up. I don't know if you can hear me or if it's me or you, but you got a really bad signal.
Am I any better yet, or am I still bad?
That's a lot better now. I don't know what happened.
I don't know either, bud. I'm holding the microphone in front of my mouth now, so I can't even touch my computer. But I can do it this way. I'm good. I'm getting that new headset. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So I apologize if I was. It was probably the microphone was probably touching my shirt, and that was making it sound bad. But it's okay now.
Yeah, it's perfect now. It got real choppy there for a second.
Okay, I'm going to sum it all up. Don't eat pork. Don't eat shellfish. There you go. I don't have to say anything more than that. Just enough. So here we go. Daesh executes hundreds of men and boys as battle for Mosul rages. And it's out of Sputnik News. The Daesh forces have executed 284 people in Mosul, including dozens of children, as they fight to keep their grip on the city. The men and boys are reported to have been rounded up over October the 20th and 21st and brought in three waves to the city's former College of Agriculture, where they were shot and then dumped into mass graves. Iraq News reports that the victims were residents of towns and villages in the city's northwest outskirts, and that 61 of them were no more than 14 years old. As the Iraqi army and supporting forces continued the battle launch this week to retake Daesh's capital in Iraq, there's a widespread fear that the militants inside the city will use captive residents as human shields or simply murder them rather than allow them to be liberated. There are also worries that Daesh will use chemical weapons indiscriminately as their hold on the city weakens, leaving residents without protection vulnerable. You know, guys, here's what I was saying to you last week about this. We came to liberate Iraq. We sure did a good job, didn't we? We said how horrible it was in Iraq under Saddam Hussein and how they had to be liberated. We had to bring democracy to them. No, we didn't have to bring democracy to them. What we had to bring to them through Wolfowitz was a central bank controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. In fact, I remember it was Tom Brokaw one evening on the evening news. In fact, I wrote it down in one of my old journals. I can't find it now, but if I look for it, I would. And Tom Brokaw actually said, he said, for the first time in the history of Iraq, they no longer have a government-controlled central bank, and we are liberating them, and we brought our own banking in through Wolfowitz, which was a Rothschild banking cartel. See, they had to come in and take control of the assets of Iraq and put Iraq deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. Now, what they didn't realize is that, you know, Wolfowitz is a Jew, and the banking cartels are Jews, and the Muslims really, really hate the Jews. You got to remember how that all happened. We had Moses basically had a wife. Her name was Sarah. She couldn't have any kids. She was basically sterile. She's like 90 years old. And so he decided to use his handmaiden Hagar as a surrogate. Now, a lot of this stuff is real basic Bible history, but a lot of my new listeners don't know this. And so what happened is he basically used his slave, Hagar, as a surrogate. He had sex with her. She got pregnant and had Ishmael. And now Ishmael was basically, you know, wasn't Jewish, but he's half and half, I guess. And so he was the firstborn to Abraham. Well, then Sarah gets pregnant and has Isaac. Well, now he's got two boys. Well, the mother, Sarah, gets really angry that her son wasn't the firstborn. So she basically puts him and the mother out in the doggone desert, says, good luck. And of course, God took care of him. And that's from where the Arab group of people in the Middle East sprung from. You know, cattle on a thousand hills. You know, he'll make your descendants as the sea soars. So we have Abrahamic blood in both the Muslims and the Jews. Now, what's interesting about all of this is that this battle now has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And if we think we're going to go in to this half-brother squabble and get into a big, we're going to send the Jews in there to control your money supply, unless they capitulate like the House of Saud did with Saudi, with these central bankers, it's not going to happen. The Jews hate the Muslims. The Muslims hate the Jews. Look at Palestine, that disaster that is there. And we're in the middle of this stuff, meddling with all of this stuff. We've got our own problem with our own Rothschild banking cartel here that has basically enslaved the United States. So, you know, that's what the whole thing was about going into Iraq. They wanted to get rid of the central bank. They didn't want Saddam trading oil or trading natural gas with other countries for gold or other currencies, which he was threatening to do. The same thing happened to Gaddafi in Libya. I mean, this is what they do. This is when they go in and they start wanting to trade in different currencies and put pressure on the petrodollar, their regimes are basically overthrown by our CIA, which is also controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, because the CIA is given their control of the country they were given it to by the military. The CIA has come in now and given the control to these Sabbateans, these Luciferians, these black magic magicians, these wizards, these warlocks, whatever you want to call them. And that's who's really running the show, and those are the ones who are pushing us as far as Iraq now. So I don't know what in the world Iraq has done to start this mess back up again, but and why we're back over there again. It must be they must not be doing something correct. But the problem is they're killing the men and the boys. And why do they kill the 13 and 14 year old boys? Because those 13 and 14 year old boys in 5 years are going to be adults. They're going to be men. They're going to be 18, 19 years old, and they don't want to fight the battle twice. They don't want to kill their daddies and have to kill the boys. They don't have to they kill the boys again 5 years later. So that's how they are over there. It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And we happen to meddle in that. I remember one time I was talking to Colin Powell about this, and he basically told me that, you know, there was a big mess going in there, and he never wanted to go in there to start with back in the Gulf War, back in the early 90s. This is what he told me back then. I never talked to him after we went in 2001. And then I also talked to Schwarzkopf about it, and he told me that it was basically pottery barn rules. He said basically if you break it, you have to fix it, or you have to buy it or repair it. And so this is General Stormer Norman Schwarzkopf. He was a friend of mine too. May he rest in peace. I believe he died of Alzheimer's disease, and I believe that was all induced from all the massive of immunizations they forced upon him. He was a real alpha male. Boy, that boy was type A. I mean, he was really type A. I really liked him. He should have been. In fact, I told him I wanted him to run in politics. I asked him if he would. Told him I'd help support him. And his response to me was this. He goes, Congress is full of a bunch of babies. He goes, I don't want to be responsible trying to deal with a bunch of babies. And so then I asked Colin Powell. I said, Colin, will you run for president? Remember, we're speaking at the same seminar. So we're all in the ready room, the green room together, hanging out all day, waiting for each other to speak. And so Colin Powell and I are talking. And I said, look, Colin, if you'll run, I will head up your campaign for Florida. I mean, I really want you to run for president. And his response to me was that he was concerned that he would be the first black president, that he would be assassinated. And his wife's name is Alma, which I always remember that because that was my mom's name, that Alma was concerned that he'd be killed. And that Alma did not want him running for president of the United States. And of course, then he went and got tied up with George W. They set him up to discredit him with those aluminum tubes. And so hence we know what happened to him after that. So, but Colin Powell was a really good guy, and so was Schwarzkopf. And they're very, very nice people to talk to. Colin Powell was actually easier to talk to than Schwarzkopf. Schwarzkopf was just a real, real type A. He was just real all about just giving orders. And so, but Colin Powell was more of a diplomat. He was really, really nice. But anyhow, so that's what's going on. That's why they want to kill the boys and the men, Austin. So it's kind of crazy, but that's what they do over there. What do you think?
No, it definitely is pretty interesting when you see a lot of that stuff down. This is a new article now that came out from Tyler Durden. We've talked about some of his stuff before on it. And Trump's finally released now. He laid out his plan for the first 100 days in office. And some of the highlights on here, interesting, because he kind of goes into detail on some of the stuff we've talked about. He actually goes into, in terms of actual political measures that Trump would propose or enact, he listed them on here. He said a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress, which I thought we've talked about that numerous times, that a requirement that every new federal regulation has two existing regulations that must be eliminated. So they can't keep adding all these regulations on top of regulations on top of more regulations that they're doing now that literally have multiple regulations caked on one another. So even if you basically do one and you fill a requirement, there's another two that prevent you from doing another one. So he wants to require that if there's a new regulation, two existing ones have to be eliminated. He goes, a five-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave the government. That's a really good one. A lifetime ban on White House officials lobbying on half of a foreign government. I don't even know how that's not illegal already. A complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. That's a really, really important one. So those are a few things that he was talking about on there, and I kind of like the idea of that, Dad, because as far as my opinion goes, the no term limit on Congress is completely and totally out of line with the Constitution, and the reason why they never really put that in there was because at the time when the Founding Fathers did this, you got to remember, these guys were all Americans. They were farmers. They were, you know, blacksmiths. They did things. They had lives. They had jobs. this idea of Congress was more of a side note to them. They were just a normal American patriots who would step in and fill the role as, you know, as a Congress member for 2, 4, 6, 8 years, depending how long that it needed to be done. And then a lot of times they would be sick of it and roll out and do go back to what they were doing or continue with something else or retire in another means. But these guys didn't stay still. They were always going. Now we have it where these guys are literally career politicians, where they go to college just in the goal of trying to become a politician, just so they can get this job at Congress or other aspects and sit there and spend their entire life on the government bill and essentially not have to pay for really anything. That was never what was intended with the Constitution, hence why they never put term limits, because they never expected these guys to be career politicians, because no true patriots back then wanted to be that. They simply did it as a duty to serve we the people of the United States, Dad. So I think it's pretty interesting that Trump's bringing up some pretty good valid points that I at least hope he can get proposed, if not enacted, when he gets in president as far as these term limits and stuff.
Well, the problem is Congress is going to have to vote on bringing it to law. They're not going to put, vote themselves out of office.
I mean, unless he's pulling Obama and does an executive order.
Nah, you got to be careful with executive orders. There's a lot of things you can't do. I mean, if Obama could have taken our guns away via executive order, he would have done so. But you can only, like, modify existing legislation. Now, the one thing that I really wish he would change is not allow these guys to have lifetime pensions after they serve for, you know, one term, right? They get $200,000 a year or whatever it is. And I wish he'd also make it so they weren't getting paid that much money, that they would basically, and also that they can't vote themselves raises. I mean, this is stupid. How many people would like to have a $100,000 a year raise? Hey, that'd be me. Okay. And they all kind of raise their hands and wave and they laugh. Okay. And now they got it. I mean, it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And see, that's the kind of stuff that just has to be changed. Oh, by the way, the UN now is going all out for unlimited migration now, allowing everybody from everywhere to go everywhere, which is again, what they're doing with Cloward and Piven, which is what they decided to do back in the 40s and the 50s, when they decided to go in and rape the third world countries of their natural resources, and then to allow them to have unlimited amounts of population growth, basically unchecked, feed them all the food they want. See, in Africa, they used to have really sustainable population, and the reason why is that they only produce enough food to feed themselves, and if they couldn't feed any more people in the family, they didn't have any more babies. It was just that simple. And then we start dropping off huge amounts of food to them back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, in fact, for the last 100 years, actually. They start having this massive population growth because they didn't have to worry about being hunter-gatherers any longer. That's what they were in Africa. And they were in tribes, and all the tribes had to make sure they maintained everything and, you know, supported themselves. And when you start dropping in huge amounts of food, then nobody has to work anymore. Then what happens is the population explodes, which they knew that it would. And then they basically bring them into the United States or anywhere else in the world, including Europe now, to destabilize everything and to take over the planet, because this way they could bring in their feudal system again and put us back under feudal law and have the serfs, which would be us, unless you've got a ticket to the underground base, that's what you're going to be. And they're going to have the elite who have come in and basically taken over the money, and they turned everybody back into slaves. That's what they want. But the United Nations has cooked up a new urban agenda coming soon to a city near you. It was unveiled this week at Quito, Ecuador, which is where Atlanta's parents are, by the way. Isn't it, Austin?
Yeah.
At the so-called Habitat 3 conference, and part of that plan, enthusiastically embraced by Hillary Clinton, calls for unlimited migration across open borders. Migrants displaced by war, failing economies, or other hardships will be seen as having rights in nations other than their own. I mean, where did they even come up with this crap? Rights in nations other than their own. Cities are seen as key battlegrounds at the UN conference in Quito, and they had a lot to say about your city will be expected to embrace. I guess you got to go one run up and hug them and kiss them and hope you don't get some type of horrible disease from them, from all kinds of regions of the world. Hillary Clinton earlier this year announced her $135 billion Breaking Every Barrier program to transform American cities. In this plan, she makes 37 pledges, promising everything for free, from the removal of blight to construction of affordable housing in areas that are currently out of price range for refugees, immigrants, and the chronically unemployed and underemployed. She intends to build on the successes of her rapist husband and the Obama King Gag Cord Kenyan administration, and her using public-private partnerships to transform cities for free by taxing the wealthy. Obama's contribution to this area include his affirmatively
furthering fair housing rule, which forces grant-receiving cities to refuse their low-crime suburban areas deemed too white. How could you be too white? Okay? With subsidized housing marketed to low-income renters, this fits right in with the UN's 2030 agenda. Guys, I've told you this before, and I'm not a racist. I'm not. I'm not. I don't believe that whites are genetically superior to other races. I don't believe that, okay? Here's what I believe. I believe that we're different. We're culturally different. We're different. Different parts of the world have different cultures. I know that. I've traveled around the world. So it doesn't make us better or worse. It just makes us different. But since population of the planet is, what, 5% white now, they want to pretty much do away with the rest of us white folk. I guess, I don't know why. I mean, we're not running around wearing white sheets and burning crosses in people's yards. At least I don't do crazy stuff like that. So why in the world do they want to get rid of the white people? I mean, it's the nuttiest thing. It's basically the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant males who they absolutely loathe and hate. And so now they want to get rid of cities that are in neighborhoods that are too white. That's the actual quote, too white. How could you, what do you think about that, Austin?
Well, that's the housing project that Obama's been working on is the same thing to basically undermine that, what you just said, because they want, and a lot of this, understand, a lot of this is trying to use the guise of this immigration that they're doing right now so they can use an excuse to increase diversity in certain neighborhoods so they can bring in your local neighborhood Syrian refugee who's an ISIS member into your local neighborhood so you can basically hang out with them and show them the American culture and show them what it's supposed to be about, I guess, and hopefully your Christian values will rub off on them. I guess that's the overall goal of it, Dad. But the problem is, it doesn't work that way.
They don't want Christian values. I mean, you know, you got to remember something. And we talked about this last week about the folks out there in Hollywood. They have a deep-seated hatred towards Jesus Christ. Remember when that... it's that one woman, what's her name? It's Kathy something. She's a Jewish comedian out of Hollywood. Filthy mouth woman. And she got a big award a few years ago for being a filthy mouth comedian. And I'll never forget this because of the deep secret hatred that these guys have for Jesus Christ. And she says right in the middle of the award, she says, "And I have an award for Jesus Christ right now I'm telling you right now, Jesus, you can suck it." That's what she said. Suck it. And that was her big thing, and she's the one who got all the awards. I mean, if you understood, you got to get this right. Yeshua is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay? He brought Jesus into this mess, is what it is. It's just a big mess. To basically redeem us back to Him and bypass the trick of Lucifer. That's why it was done this way. And what ended up happening is Jesus came, he overthrew the table of the money changers, he was crucified a week later, but then they basically didn't expect him to rise from the dead. And so then he appeared to all of these people and started preaching the kingdom of God and how that was within you. And that if you accepted him, that basically you'd be part of him and the Godhead in covenant. And that's what we talk about when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. You basically have God share with you a tiny, tiny portion of his omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience. And so we become greater than these folks that don't accept Jesus Christ because of our covenant with God Almighty, who is our covenant head. And that allows us to put them under our feet as far as their rules and regulations over us, as far as they're controlling us through death, hell, and the grave, because it doesn't have a sting to us anymore because we're Christians. We don't have to experience any of that. So he came to break that curse that had been on this planet since the fall of Adam and Eve to bring us a kinsman redeemer, the second Adam he's also called, to bring us a new testament in his blood. And we've talked about the blood of Christ many times on this show and how it puts out scalar waves to change the very fabric of space-time, and how when you pray, you create scalar waves, which change the entire energy field, which is the same thing that black magicians do. We talked about this on the Friday show, to cause the veil to go over the mind of the unbeliever so that they'll vote for Hillary or they'll hate Trump. And now, I know that I said unbeliever because a lot of Christians also, I believe, could be saved but still have a veil over them because they've been programmed through theta and alpha brainwaves, through the TV sets, not to see the truth. Just today I had to go buy a plastic barrel. Don't ask me why, one of these plastic barrel stories. And I was talking to the guy, and I had to go to a citrus supply place to get it here in Florida. And he said the business was very, very slow because they've lost, you know, almost all of their citrus trees. And he said, you know, 30 years ago, our business was booming. And he said the trees have all been, have died from the green blight here. And I said, well, they have died from the green blight. I said, but that's not what killed the trees. And I said, the trees became weak because their feeder roots couldn't feed properly because of multiple things. Glyphosate, aluminum, and barium. And he goes, well, I know what glyphosate is, but what's aluminum? What are you talking about, aluminum and barium? So today, it happens to be one of those days. They decided to go ahead and treat us like we're mosquitoes down here, and they have soaked the skies with chemtrails today. Last 2 days, azure blue skies, absolutely beautiful here in Florida. But today they decided to do the mosquito thing to us again. And so what's happened today is we've got streaks all over the sky down here. So I took them outside and I said, now, do you see this? This is what's called a chemtrail, or it's also called geoengineering, or stratospheric geoengineering. So I explained the whole thing to him, and he had never heard of any of it. And I said, this is what makes the trees weak. Certain varieties of fruits and vegetables and even trees are really intolerant to aluminum. It's bad for everything, but some things really respond badly to it, and also barium. And I said it recoils the feeder roots. The trees get weaker and weaker, and the blight takes over and kills them. He goes, wow. He goes, why have I never heard of this? And I said, well, because you haven't heard our talk show, and if you talk, so I go, we give them information to the talk show. I said, this is what we talk about all the time. And I said, this is why the chemtrails are so bad. And I said, I'm not going into Morgellons. I'm not doing all that, because that goes to the point where if you're not really awake and somebody starts talking to you about that, it either scares you half to death or you don't want to hear anything more, or you think everybody's Looney Tunes because they're talking about it. But it was an interesting conversation with him, because I knew his stepdad. He and I had gone to high school together. And he told me, he said, I really don't know what my stepdad would do if he was alive today, because everything's so changed now. And I said, well, when your stepdad and I went to high school together, men weren't walking into little girls' bathrooms and using the bathroom. I said, if they had done that, we'd have beat them up. Quite frankly, that's the bottom line. I mean, we're talking back in the, you know, being born in the 50s. And I said, we don't live like that. We didn't live like that. None of that stuff was considered socially acceptable. I said, your dad was part of the redneck crowd that used to, you know, run and drink and stay stoned all weekend. And I was part of the college crowd, and I used to work out all the time with these guys. And I was a manager of the gym that we trained at together. It was Jerry and B's Health Club in Winter Haven, Florida, back in the early 70s. I said, he'd come in after a drunk on Friday night, and I'd be in there running the place, and he and I'd work out together. And I said, he's a really nice guy. And I said, he just needed to learn not to hit people all the time and slap people. I got mad at somebody often, just slap him upside the head. And he said, well, we often joke about how Randy couldn't handle it right now, you know, and how everything's so changed and how everybody's become so feminized. And I said, well, yeah, that's a problem. So I explained to them, and for the new listeners, I'm going to cover this very quickly for you, because I've had so many people in this, when I've been talking to all of my customers last week, and I want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to speak to you. I was talking to them, and they said, well, tell us about that whole thing with the feminization of the males again. What happens is, back in 1975 at Florida State University, we had a professor named Dr. Visa. He was our embryology professor. It was in one of my medical school, pre-medical school classes. And what was interesting about this is a biology class is what it was. He ended up teaching us on embryology. He said that all mammals, if you got hair, basically, you're a mammal on this planet, right? It's one of the mammals. That if all mammals are born, they're conceived female. Now, I said, that sounds really strange. I said, so everybody's conceived a girl, but then because the Y chromosome kicks in that child, which is the male chromosome, it triggers the mother to produce, primarily through her ovaries, by the way, testosterone, which is the testicles in a woman. Okay, because what happens is when that boy is in her, he's a little girl when it's in the first part of the cell division phase, the testosterone kicks in and starts to cause what's called secondary sex characteristics. And the ovaries become the testicles, the clitoris becomes the penis, the right brain dominant hemisphere of the female becomes the left brain dominant hemisphere of the male. Now, this is what happens during the gestational cycle or while you're pregnant inside of your mom. So I'm talking to these guys, and I said, so basically what happens is this. Testosterone and estrogen are antagonistic. Now, the woman's ovaries, because they would have been the male's testicles, they start producing testosterone to feed the little boy adequate amounts of testosterone to cause these secondary sex characteristics. Now, if the woman is being exposed to bisphenol A, or pesticides, or glyphosate, or soy protein, or all these plastic wraps, and she's cooking in the microwave with plastic on the food, what happens where she's drinking milk that contains the bovine growth hormone, which is all estrogen. And she's doing all of these things while she's pregnant. She puts exogenous estrogen or extra estrogen into her bloodstream, which goes to the fetus. And since they're antagonistic with one another, they cancel each other out. So the child then has elevated estrogen levels. So the secondary sex characteristics don't take place. The child is born with a very small penis. He's very right-brained because his mom had a right brain, because that's the female brain, is the right brain. It's real artsy-craftsy. And, you know, they like to wear tight, you know, skinny jeans and go shopping with the girls. Not necessarily they're gay, because most of them aren't, but they're feminized. And this is what they had to do with a 90% reduction in our sperm count because of all of this in the United States, because it's all about the global population agenda to reduce the population of the planet. And so I explained that to those folks today, and they go, wow, that really explains a lot, because that tells me why there's so many girly boys running around everywhere in school. And I said, that's exactly right. I said, that's what's happened. He goes, well, man, my father would never have been able to deal with all this. I said, no, he'd be like the rest of us. He'd learn how to just adapt to it. I said, but it's weird for us as alpha males from the 60s and the 70s who have seen what's happened to the population of the United States. And guys, if you're over 50 years of age, you know I'm right about this. And Austin, you've seen a lot of it, and you're almost 30.
Oh, yeah.
Because even when you were in school, there were a lot more macho guys. But now more and more people are being raised on soy protein. And so that causes that brain to shift back to that right brain dominant hemisphere. And it's, and even Pat Robertson on the 700 Club did a report on this one night. So guys, don't eat the soy at all, ever, and don't allow foods to be wrapped in plastic and cooked in the microwave. If you're going to use the microwave, I mentioned this last week, take it out and put it into a ceramic or glass container and then cook it in the microwave, though I recommend you don't cook in the microwave. If you pre-thaw the food that's supposed to be microwavable, you can fry it up in a cast iron pan pretty quick with some olive oil, and it takes about the same amount of time, and you don't denature the food like you do in a microwave. So, guys, that's the kind of stuff that we're going to talk about on the show if you're tuning in right now. And so if you find that stuff interesting, we talk about all this kind of stuff all the time. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is interesting now. Michigan Democrats are introducing a full-blown assault weapons bill to try and pass in the state, which I don't think is going to get passed. But it's another one of these absolutely ludicrous, out of control. They call it assault weapon ban again. But it's even more than that. And quite frankly, as you guys have known before, if you've listened to me before, the whole term assault weapon is completely and totally nonsense. It's just nonsense. You know, any type of light machine gun to select fire is exactly that. An assault weapon can be used anything to cause or inflict harm or to assault somebody. So calling a semi-automatic AR-15 an assault weapon is a complete and total misrepresentation of what they're trying to imply. But what they're doing now is they're saying that the right to have a firearm is fundamental, but that doesn't mean we should have to accept injuries and death because of it, okay? So this new one classifies, again, assault weapons as a semi-automatic pistol or semi-automatic or pump-action rifle of accepting detachable magazines and having at least one feature of an assault weapon, pistol grip, flash suppressor, same old they have on here. But here's the interesting aspect about that. They're also going to make it illegal to possess a weapon and a magazine at the same time as two separate charges. Any magazines over 10 rounds, again, completely, totally a nonsense. And they want to make this, as bad enough, any person in violating the proposed legislation will be guilty of a felony punishable to 4 years in prison. So now they want to take completely normal, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens that have an AR-15 with a 30-round mag, if they got this enacted, would turn you into a felon overnight if you were caught with this, all because these idiot Democrats want to take the firearms from everybody for no reason. Here's my next story that ties right into this. Because everybody likes to use the example of, oh, Australia took away all the guns and it worked pretty good. Wrong answer. Didn't work at all. They just released an article on Friday. Now, the government of Australia is admitting now that hundreds of thousands of firearms still remain in criminal possession, and they're launching a new amnesty in hope of persuading the criminals to turn over their weapons. They said their gun problem has gotten much, much worse. They said known criminals were caught with firearms almost 800 times last year. Criminals are now using gunshot wounds to the arms and legs as warnings to pay debts. assault rifles and handguns are being smuggled into Australia via shipments of electronics and metal parts. So what's happening now is the black market, the underground gangbangers, the illicit drug gang, the criminals, are all acquiring weapons. They're getting more and more weapons every year. More of them are coming into the country, and the law-abiding citizens that are scared to be convicted of a felony for having a semi-automatic rifle in their house still aren't arming themselves because they don't want to go to jail for having a weapon. Yet the convicted felons that have been in prison 3, 4, 5 times absolutely have no reason not to have a weapon. Guys, you have to understand this. Sometimes violence can only be persuaded by violence. And I'm not implying you need to be violent. I'm saying you should do everything you can to deter violence. But when individuals that are intent on doing you harm and they have a firearm, most of the time the only thing they understand is you with a firearm. Saying it's illegal, you shouldn't shoot me because it's illegal to have a weapon, makes no justifiable reasoning to them whatsoever, guys. So please understand this when you hear all these ridiculous claims about assault weapon bans, restrictions on magazines. They're all designed to slowly disarm the United States for a slow kill. That's the only reason they're ever enacted. They have never done one significant positive aspect for protecting or saving the lives of civilians. Civilians have to stop relying on the police and the government to babysit them like little children and go back to our roots in this country when we actually protected one another and took care of each other in our neighborhoods and protected our families together. That's what the entire United States militia was about when it was formed. It was a loosely grouped militia that protected everybody and came together in the event that something happened. That's what everybody has to start doing now and stop falling in prey to whatever these guys keep telling us about these firearms and how they need to take them all away. Because I promise you, if they ban firearms in the United States, that will be the end of any and all rights we will ever have in this country. The Second Amendment is the teeth of the Constitution, bar none, any other right. That is it.
Well, I just... Amen. I mean, that's like a little sermon. That was great. About years ago, we were at the Honda dealership in Winter Haven down the road from us, and we were looking at some bikes, and a police officer walks in, you know, and there was a sheriff's officer, and Austin and I were in there, and he comes over, and we start talking to him, real nice guy. He was in uniform, and I asked him what kind of gun he carried. I think he had a SIG, and I told him, I said, well, I carry a, you know, I think of that. I'm not sure if I had a Kimber or a Glock back then. I don't remember, and I'll never forget what he said. He goes, if more people and citizens would get their concealed weapons permit and start carrying guns, this world would be so much safer. He goes, let me tell you something, buddy. He goes, somebody's breaking into your house, you call 911. If we have an officer close, we may be there in 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. He goes, an awful lot can happen in 10 or 15 minutes. I remember one time, also, I was teaching at the college in Tallahassee, and they asked me one semester, they said, we have an opening for an extra class if you'd like to teach it at the Federal Correctional Institute in Tallahassee. And I said, okay. This was the prison. It was a federal prison. And I said, I'll be happy to teach out there. You know, I don't care. You know, whatever. Just, you know, I love being a professor. And so I remember I took a class out there. In fact, I did two classes, two semesters. And I remember I went out there my last semester, and I had a class, and there was no guard in the room. And I remember I said to him, I had like, you know, 20 prisoners in there. And I remember the guard said to me, he says, well, if something happens or somebody gets rowdy or threatens you, just pick up this phone. We'll be here in less than 30 seconds. And my response was to him was this. Do you realize how much can happen in 30 seconds? I said, are you kidding me? 30 seconds? I said, most fights don't even last 30 seconds. I said, they're over with after one or two punches or somebody gets stabbed. And I said, really, 30 seconds? And he goes, yeah. So I had a rowdy student in there one day, one of the prisoners, right? And he actually got an F on an exam, got jumped up and started screaming at me. This guy's a felon. He's in prison. And I just fussed right back at him. And he sat down. And of course, I had him immediately extricated from the classroom. From that point forward, though, I had to make sure that I had armed guards walk me all the way through the prison to the class. And I will tell you, that was the last semester I taught at the Federal Correctional Institute. I said, this isn't worth it. This is just not much fun anymore. And so that's the thing, guys. If you have a problem with your home and somebody's breaking into your house, you know, I keep a 12-gauge shotgun by the bed with a 20-round drum. I mean, I don't want to play that game. I don't. This is not going to be with my you know, my, let's go practice with the gun night. Okay, this is the, if this happens and this goes down real, you gotta be prepped and you gotta be ready to go. And then I keep the Kimber as a backup by the shotgun in case the Kimber or one of them jam on me. Because you can't be in that situation if someone's breaking into your house that you're not prepared for that. And I know that sounds a little paranoid, but guys, I was raised in a bar. Remember that. I was a bouncer in that same bar. And I've seen too many bad things happen to people who didn't do anything wrong. And so I've seen some crazy stuff happen in my life. And none of the people that the bad stuff happened to ever saw it coming. It was always either sucker punched or somebody just, it was just crazy. And so that's what I've learned over the years is that, you know, be prepared. You know, there's a place in Winter Haven where we go to the movies, you know. And when we go there, I'm like, gosh, I've got to make sure I bring my gun because I don't particularly like the area, or I'll go to Lakeland to a different movie theater. So it's just one of those things that you have to understand that you always need to be prepared wherever you go. Get a concealed weapons permit. You know, if your state allows open carry in your town, I wish Florida did, I would open carry. I know you would too, Austin. I would open carry. I would be slinging a gun. And, you know, just everybody can see it. We're good. You know, be like the old West, you know, wear a six shooter on your hip with a holster. It doesn't matter. Because the truth of the matter is, guys, that's the best deterrent you're ever going to have. If somebody knows you're armed and they're armed, they don't really want to do that because the people that are armed don't want to be having someone shoot back at them. That's not fun anymore. They want to intimidate and do things to people. Because, I mean, you're in a lot, I remember also when you were doing that one live fire demonstration, that exercise, that training, that tactical training down there in Okeechobee last year. And I remember they had all these big 20-foot mounds of dirt around us, and they were doing artillery things, and everything else were blowing up around us on the other side of those mounds. And also, once in a while, you'd hear shells flying over your head 20 feet up. You hear them whistle over your head. And you're like, gosh, that just doesn't sound good. And these are live rounds flying over your head. So, guys, it's different when people just shoot back at you. It's a whole lot different, and it's not near as much fun, so to speak. So always stay armed. By the way, a new study is now finding nanoparticles of metal in humans' brain, and they're blaming this on the geoengineering. So the recent study found nanoparticles of metal in human brains, raising the eyebrows of geoengineering researchers such as the prolific Patrick Roddy of Stop Spraying Us. While the study doesn't connect geoengineering to the particles, I'll tell you how it does that in a second, it is well understood the exposure to geoengineering poisons will poison the body with heavy metals. What happens with the olfaction system? Now remember, these are nanoparticles. These are tiny, tiny, smaller than dust particles. If they were putting big blocks of aluminum out of the back of these planes, it'd fall down in a matter of minutes, right? They don't do that. This is that stuff that's just like, you know, the size of a molecule or an atom. This is tiny, tiny, tiny stuff. And it floats. It takes days, if not weeks, to float back down through the ionosphere. And it's used for multiple things. It's designed primarily to supposedly stop the heating of the atmosphere, which they're actually talking about now, which it really probably would do that because of the reflection process. It also causes global dimming. It's also designed to work with advanced radar systems, ground penetrating radar. It's also designed, get this, to detect advanced propulsion systems from spaceships in our atmosphere. Now that's a strange one, but that's one of the things that it does. And also what it does, it basically helps to put the Morgellons inside of us and to infuse us with nanoparticulates. When you inhale aluminum, the oxide, from this powder they're dumping on us up in the sky, it doesn't have to go into the lungs. It can go directly through the olfaction system of the nose, directly through the blood-brain barrier there, and go directly into the brain. People don't understand how that works, but that's what can happen. So if that's how it's getting into the brain, that'd be a good way for it to get in. So that's why it's really important that you guys use our Kelex product. You know, I take one or two of those every single night if I were you guys, unless you're doing the actual intravenous chelation therapy on a regular basis. And it also contains the EDTA, which helps to bind the heavy metal in your gut and pull it back out of your system. So it's really important to take the oral chelation product that we have on a regular basis. I usually take it at night. That's the best time to take it before you go to bed, because you don't want to take it first thing in the morning with your other supplements, because you don't want it binding up any of the minerals in any of the other supplements. So what you want to do is make sure you do it at night when you have pretty much an empty stomach before you go to bed. What do you think about that, Oz?
Yeah, the chelation therapy is a significantly good product for a lot of those different things. Also, too, I've had people that have been in positions where their job, say they're a nurse or something like that, they're required by law in some states to get vaccinated, certain vaccines, which I'm not a fan of. I don't particularly approve of, but obviously you're your own person. You have to do that if you have a job, if you feel that that's what you need to do. And I've had a lot of customers say that that's what they've done, is they'll start on the chelation therapy about a month out before their vaccines, and they'll continue it all the way through. And at the same time, they'll also be taking large amounts of vitamin C as well when they get the vaccine. So the chelation therapy and the vitamin C, and from what I've been told, a lot of people that have done this, our customers, they said they don't really get sick from the vaccines. They don't get too bad, feeling too bad off of it. And they said that's the best thing they can do. Not that I recommend taking vaccines at all. You guys know my stance on them. But in very, very small amounts, if you're taking the chelation therapy, in my opinion, I think it could offset some of the negative side effects of the vaccines in grown adults. Now, children, that's a completely different animal. That's why I'm so opposed to childhood vaccines, because you're dealing with bodies that, A, are much, much smaller than adults, B, they're not even anywhere near fully developed, and C, their immune systems are already trying to grow naturally and become stronger naturally, and compromising them with a massive overload of vaccines has never been proven under any scientific research to be long-term effective against contracting the diseases they're vaccinated against. Look it up, guys. There's no research that supports that. They may say, oh, well, it works for a year or two. If they could even prove that, I don't even believe it. But that's why they want you to get all these shots over and over and over again. Doesn't it make sense, if you have a child, to keep them healthy, teach them how to wash their hands, take them, make sure they're taking proper nutritional supplements, eating healthy, clean foods, and keeping their immune system strong naturally? And if they do get a cold, up their vitamin C and their D3 and call it a day, and it's usually gone in a day or two. But taking a hypodermic needle and injecting five, six, seven different types of vaccines into their little body at one time makes no logical sense from any type of natural people that I've talked to, natural doctors. Even immunologists have even said that before in some cases. It makes no sense at all to do this, and there's a whole other agenda behind it, and that's what we've talked about before in detail. So if you want to listen to some of the vaccine stuff, listen to some of our other shows, because we go into huge detail, and on our website at healthmasters.com, we have at least about a dozen articles on there via vaccine. If you're trying to convince your husband or wife or your family members or your brother or your sister, give them some of the articles we have. Show them some of the podcasts we have. Let them listen to it, and let them, because ultimately they got to make their own decision, guys. You guys, I've had some people email me up, and they're like, my sister's having a kid. She wants the vaccine. I don't want her to do it. She won't listen. Guys, the only thing you can do is keep telling them what you know and show them what you know and send them the emails of what you know, and that's about it. You can't continue to lose sleep over it, have it stress you out, because at the end, it's their kids, and they're going to do what they want with it. So that's what it really comes down to. Also, too, now in other reports, a newly released report published in the Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology has now revealed that exposure to hormone-disrupting chemicals, like we were just talking earlier at the beginning of the show, is contributed to around $340 billion in healthcare costs each year now in the United States. Guys, this is intense. They're referring to these EDCs as endocrine-disrupting chemicals. That's plastic food containers, detergents, certain flame retardants, cosmetics, and even toys. Also, the plasticizers. They said some of these problems with exposure to these include neurological damage, behavioral damage, and sexual development damage. And also, too, it can decrease the IQ. What's interesting about this article is the lead investor said our research adds to the growing evidence on tremendous economic as well as human health costs of endocrine-disrupting chemicals. He also commented the issue has the potential to become a much more prominent and economic problem if no policy actions are taken. And what's going on with this, guys, this is what Dad's just talked about before with the feminization of all these males. This is getting worse. We just saw the beginning parts of it now in the last 10 to 15 years. The more now, and a lot of those kids, they weren't even exposed to it that much in utero. Their mom may have been exposed to it. They may have some exposure. As they got older, they're exposed to more of it. Now, guys, we're talking about generational exposure. We're talking about the kids that were extremely exposed to it from their mom in utero are now having kids that are exposed to it even more and are starting to have other kids now, and it's becoming a cascading effect that is starting to have a significant effect on the entire health of the United States population. So what Dad was saying earlier was completely spot on. You guys need to do everything you can to stay away from being exposed to plasticizers, a lot of the cosmetics. If you get a girl's got to use makeup, go with a really good, clean, natural brand. Don't be using some of this stuff. Same thing with shampoos and conditioners. We carry the adjacent shampoo and conditioner here. If you guys want, you can buy it from us. We carry it all the time. We sell a ton of it. If not, you can probably get it somewhere else. Doesn't matter to me. Just stop using all these chemicals. And some of the shampoos are loaded, guys, loaded with chemicals. And you think about it. You're in the shower. You're already hot. It's already steamy. Your pores are already open. Now you're taking a big handful of shampoo with literally dozens of hormone-disrupting chemicals and all types of different plasticizers and toxins in it. You're rubbing it all over your head. It's getting all over your face, getting all over your skin. You're letting it soak in for a minute, and then you're rinsing it off all over your entire body, guys. A lot of this stuff is toxic. Start thinking about what you're putting on your body and in your body, and I promise you it will make a big difference in how you feel and your overall health, Dev.
Wow. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Again, you know, we use the organic shampoos. We don't use the plasticizers. We very rarely ever even cover things. We use, like, you know, non-BPA, you know, containers, basically the seal. I'd call it something like Tupperware. I mean, that's what everybody knows, but I mean, Tupperware is so expensive. But, you know, there's all kinds of other ones with not BPA on the market now that are available. I'm not sure if Tupperware contains BPA or not. I think some of the older stuff used to. But the thing about it is that, you know, if you just make a little bit of an effort, just a little effort, to say, hey, you know, I don't want to, you know, be in a lab experiment here, not in the shower anyhow. It's kind of yuck. I don't want to do this. I don't want to breathe this stuff. Because remember, University of Kentucky did a study a few years ago, or maybe the University of Pittsburgh. I think it was Pittsburgh. And they said that if you have a 15-minute hot shower with fluorinated water, you absorb through your lungs the equivalent of having drunk 8 glasses of contaminated water. And yes, you heard that right. And so it's one of those things. You've got to stay away from all of these poisons. So we have the shower filters, a screw on the end of your shower head, to take all that stuff out. And so those are great. We love them. And they last like a year per shower. You swap out the filter and put a new one up there, and it doesn't cause all these chemical reactions to your skin or to your hair. Ladies, if you're coloring your hair, it doesn't cause your hair to get brittle and want to crack and break, because it just prevents all that chlorine from doing that, which will dry out your hair. My wife, she highlights her hair, and I know when we go on trips, we'll go down to like the gym in the hotel, and they'll have like a bottled water machine or whatever that's non-chlorinated, and we'll get a bottle of water, and she actually rinses out her hair using that, and she won't even put it in the shower in these hotels. In the old days, we've actually brought shower filters with us, but they've become a problem now because sometimes they leak water when you take them off, because they're full of water because they have a carbon block cartridge in there. And what ends up happening is you got to deal with that, trying to get it through security and everything else. And it's easier. Yeah, just now TSA has just changed everything. Plus, then you get some hotels where you have different threads. You have a metric thread versus an English thread, and now the thing won't fit. Now you drag the thing with you. You know, and you're like, oh, I'm glad I got this in the suitcase. So it's one of those things. By the way, thousands of California soldiers now are forced to repay enlistment bonuses a decade after they have gone to war, and many of them have already returned home. This is LA Times. Short of troops to fight in Iraq and Afghanistan, these unbelievable bloody engagements that were completely unnecessary a decade ago, the California National Guard enticed thousands of soldiers with bonuses up to $15,000 or more, and we know people who have that, Austin, to re-enlist and go to war. Now the Pentagon is demanding the money back. I guess they're broke, right? Their deep underground military bases cost
too much. What about the $9 trillion they gave away?
they already spent that on the Rothschild bases to hide all the Rothschild boys, and they're going to. Yeah, these guys, they don't build like a concrete block room down there. They're building like penthouse suites for these guys. Nearly 10,000. You know I'm right, Austin. Nearly 10,000 soldiers, many of whom served multiple combat tours, have been ordered to repay large enlistment bonuses and slapped with interest charges on top of anything else, wage garnishments and tax liens if they refuse. Other audits revealed widespread overpayments by the California Guard at the height of the war's last decade. Investigations have determined the lack of oversight allows for widespread fraud and mismanagement by California Guard officials under pressure to meet enlistment targets. But soldiers say the military is reneging on 10-year-old agreements and imposing severe financial hardship on veterans whose only mistake was to accept bonuses offered when the Pentagon needed to fill the ranks. Facing enlistment shortfalls of two major wars with no end in sight, which, by the way, we still have no end in sight, the Pentagon began offering the most generous incentives in its history to retain soldiers in the mid-2000s. and also began paying the money up front in a lump sum, like signing bonuses that some businesses pay in the civilian sector. It was a real sea change in how business was done, said Colonel Michael S. Piazzoni, a California Guard official in Sacramento who oversaw the audits. The system paid everybody up front, and then we spent the next 5 years figuring out if they were eligible. Wow. Guys, this is nuts, making these boys pay back. You know what saddens me, Austin, is that the guys who sign up and go over there and fight and are irreparably damaged mentally, physically, amputations, never the same, on drugs after they get out, addicted on heroin, all of it. It's sad. It's like, for instance, I was watching a show. It was the latest Jack Reacher movie came out on Friday. It's okay. It's not as good as the first one. It's okay. But it was about this general who had left the military and was smuggling opium into the United States through his private mercenary army that was working for the U.S. in Afghanistan. Imagine that. Imagine that. And so that part of the movie was really interesting. And so it was kind of crazy, but I saw the movie and I thought to myself, this is nuts. They actually had the soldiers marching through the poppy fields in the movie. So I don't know how in the world that one got through the Hollywood editing group, but that's how that one got. I like the Jack Reacher movies, but they're a little bit violent if you don't like violent stuff. But I like Tom Cruise. He's a good actor. I know there's a lot of rumors around about him being gay and that kind of stuff, but I don't want to believe that about Tom Cruise, though I was told by a reputable source that was true. But the whole thing about it is, who cares? He's a good action figure, and he actually does a good job on the movies, and I like him as an actor, so there you go. So I don't know what he is as far as his sexual persuasion. Don't really care. You know, here's I told us about Austin the other day about the gay people. I don't really care. They don't show up on my radar. If they want to do what they do and not involve me or my family, I don't care what they do. They've been around since the beginning of time. They've been around since the Nephilim. They've been around since the beginning. They were back around when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, you know, on the mountain in the law, in the five first books of Levitical law, the Pentateuch, you know, the Torah. And they, you know, he talked about it in detail there. And so it's not like they haven't been around for a while. And so they've been around for a while. It's just, if they're going to do what they do and all the stuff they do, I just don't want to know about it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it on my TV. I don't want my kids to know about it. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Sorry, the show got kind of going by quick today. I love you guys. Again, I really enjoy talking to you guys. Thank you for getting at least your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for being here for us, and we're here for you. We appreciate you. Go ahead and close, Oz.
Yeah, we appreciate everything, guys. Email us or call us, healthmasters.com. We're trying to get caught up on all the emails. We've had a lot of emails the last week, just a very big influx. So we appreciate all the inquiries. We'll definitely be getting to everybody as quickly as possible. Also, too, just to remind you, the purple sticks are still on sale as product of the week. They will be on for another day. Tomorrow will be the last day they're on. So if you guys wanted to pick up a couple, now's your time. We appreciate the support. You guys have a blessed night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.